blessed are the sad and disappointed Blue Jays fans. For there's always next year, or the next year, or the next year. Blessed are the orange-wearing BC Lions fans, for the team will get into the Grey Cup again someday. Maybe this year. Blessed are the injury-ridden Canucks fans, for it's still early in the season and your team will heal eventually. Blessed are those of you who don't get it and have no interest in watching multimillionaires play a game for days and days, for hours on end, for the season will eventually end. But woe to you whose phones go off during the sermon. I'm just kidding. But woe to you Vancouver Whitecaps fans who assume their team will win every playoff game because penalty kicks will not save you every time. That happened yesterday. So I'm having a bit of fun with our sports teams who were all playing yesterday. Some very exciting games, actually. Deep disappointment, of course, for the Blue Jays. And last-minute relief for the Lions and the Whitecaps, who managed exciting wins in their playoff games. This section of Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount that we hear this morning is part of an ancient pattern of blessings and curses, beatitudes and warnings that go back to ancient political treaties. When the children of Abraham heard this pattern from their prophets, they knew that it was a reformulation of the covenants between nations, peace treaties or armistice agreements. If they kept the peace, these good things would happen. If they broke the agreement, these were the terrible consequences, the curses. And so the prophets used the same format to share the terms of God's covenant with the people. If you keep the faith, obey the commandments, and do your faithful duties of worship and service, you will reap the benefits and be blessed in all these ways. If you broke faith and failed to keep covenant with Yahweh, then these curses are the terrible consequences that you can expect. This morning, when we hear Jesus use the same formula in his famous Sermon on the Mount, this section often called the Beatitudes or the Blessings, we like to ignore the curses part, Jesus is using this similar pattern that was familiar to those folks. And he's addressing a large crowd of people who've gathered from all over the place to hear his teaching and watch him heal. But right in the middle of his sermon, Jesus turns to his disciples. You're the disciples now. And he's saying, pay attention, you guys. Blessed are the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and defame you on account of the Son of Man, the mortal one, the human one. Rejoice on that day and leap for joy, he says, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But it is weird, isn't it? Poor Maggie said, you've given me a tough reading this morning. It is rough. The winners of this world are cursed, and the losers of the world are blessed. It's upside down, isn't it? Blessed are the poor, blessed are the hungry. No, they're not. In our world, it's just the opposite. This is certainly not a description of the way things are. Not in our world. But Jesus speaks of God's world, God's empire, God's kingdom. He invites us to make the choice to live in the kingdom of God instead of what passes for reality in this world. If the world is a society in which only the strong, the independent, the rich, and the successful are blessed, then we live accordingly to that. But if we decide that this is truly God's world, and the world is really a place where God blesses the poor, the hungry, and the persecuted, then we must act in accordance with that alternate reality. Do we live by the rules of a broken world, or by the laws of a gracious and loving God who turns this world upside down? The choice is ours, and Jesus points the way. Jesus introduces us to the upside-down kingdom of God and how God's values are often opposite to most of the values held up in our society. He goes on in the sermon to tell us to love even our enemies, and not just the LA Dodgers, but real enemies. In God's kingdom, the poor and powerless are honored, while the rich and powerful are humbled. So where does that leave us who live in this seaside paradise of Richmond and Vancouver? Are we blessed or are we cursed? It's not hard to figure out where we fit into those blessings and curses, is it? We are in the curses section, right? Our stomachs are full, and by any global standard, we are rich. In this great sermon on the kingdom of God, we come face to face with just how radical Jesus' teaching is, especially for us who are the haves in our world. Jesus turned people and institutions on their head. He threw over tables in the temple and called people back to faithfulness. He rewrote religious rules like the ones about the Sabbath and who we consider our neighbor. He taught that the rules and teachings were for us, not us for them. Jesus honored and respected women in ways that were revolutionary in his time. He talked to women and ate with outcasts and sinners and even tax collectors. He protected an adulterous woman and welcomed children. He taught nonviolence and self-sacrifice. He chose poverty as a way of life and called the rich young man to sell all his possessions and give them to the poor. He valued the poorest, weakest, sickest people and gave them his time and his love and his healing touch. He taught a completely different kind of economics in terms of how we value people, compared to money and possessions. Jesus doesn't deny the way the world is, but he calls us to live differently in it. As you've already heard, yesterday, November the 1st, was All Saints Day. In the Christian calendar, the Feast of All Saints is a day honoring not only those who are known and recognized as enlightened souls, but more especially the unknowns. We remember both our beloved saints, but also stop to recognize and honor those saints who draw us closer to the holy, who walk beside us, who change our lives and teach us lessons and connect us to the earth and all of its creatures and make us more human. We honor all those who taught us to live by the values of God's kingdom instead of the so-called real world, where the super rich get elected to political office and make their own laws. Today, we are honoring not only the saints who have been elevated by the ancient church, but all the saints who've shown God's love and how they live and where they move. We honor all the saints who loved Jesus and lived lives of faithfulness and kindness. We honor the ones who recognized God's desire for us through selfless protest and prayer and showed us God's kingdom in how they lived. So I want to invite you now to find the little piece of paper that hopefully you were handed on your way into church today. And if you didn't get one, maybe you could put your hand up. And Muriel, do you have some extras? And there's a few at the front here, too. Anybody else need another one? Thank you, Susan. Oh, yeah, so that table there. Everybody got one? So if you don't have your own pen or pencil, hopefully you'll find one in one of the pews in front of you. And you'll see that it says, Gifts from Our Saints. And what we're inviting you to do is to reflect for a moment on the particular precious gifts that you have received from one or more of the saints in your life. They might have been someone actually known to you, someone you love, or someone that's a little more distant, but who has given you gifts. What wisdom, faith, selfless love, or example of service have they given you? Just write a single word or a few words about those gifts on your little sheet, your little paper candle. And then when we invite you to come forward for communion a little later, you're invited to put them in the baskets. There's one here and one here where the communion stations will be. So as you come up, you can put it in the basket before you receive communion. So I invite you just to take a minute now to write a word or two. Let's reflect and give thanks for the precious gifts of our saints. Sing together of Jesus' teaching, Seek ye first the kingdom. Let's stand and sing if you're able. And I invite those who are helping with the All Saints liturgy to come forward during the third verse.